Luke chapter 2 is the Bible's most detailed account of the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is very familiar to us. It is the chapter that is read perhaps more than any other chapter in the Bible. It illustrates that God's Word never grows stale. It shows that God's Word has a depth that cannot be plumbed. It is a straightforward, simple story of what simply cannot be comprehended in the human mind or heart, for it is the message of the wonder of the Incarnation. Eternal God, second person of the Trinity, made flesh for us sinners. Mary and Joseph were brought by the providence of God to the city of Bethlehem, where, in a manger, the eternal Son of God was born in our flesh, in order that he might open for us the door of heaven. Really, the whole Bible is written to explain what happened, as it's recorded in Luke chapter 2. The whole Bible tells us what happened there, why it happened, and the result of it happening. Apart from the explanation of the Bible, you could never understand what happened in the birth of Jesus Christ. You would have to be like those in Luke chapter 2, verse 18, who, when they heard these things, wondered at what was told them by the shepherds and passed on, but never understanding in their heart. The Bible tells us that what happened was the wonder of God's grace. What better verse of the Scripture to tell us what the birth of Jesus Christ really was than John 3, verse 16? That is probably the most familiar verse in the whole Bible. If Luke 2 is the most familiar chapter, John 3:16 is the most familiar verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What I would like to do today is place John 3:16 over the top of Luke chapter 2 and hear God's explanation for the birth of our Lord. Hear the only explanation for Christmas. I know that much controversy has swirled over John 3, verse 16. John 3, verse 16 is a verse that has been terribly distorted in the false assumption that the word world means all men head for head and is used to teach that there is a universal love of God for all men. But that is not the Bible. Nor is it the verse itself, for the world that is referred in John 3:16 is the world that believeth in him. And the Bible tells us that those who believe in him do so because God has elected them and given them that faith. But the place of John 3:16 in the Bible is not only for me to tell you what it doesn't mean and to defend it over against those who would distort it. The place of John 3:16 in the Bible is to show God's great love for the world, for the church of all ages, for his church out of every race, nation, and time, for you and for me, and for everyone who by his grace has come to believe in Jesus Christ. Never did the love of God shine so brightly as when the baby Jesus lay in the manger. Let's listen to the only explanation for Christmas. A good explanation always answers three questions. Those three questions are, what happened? Why did it happen? And what does it mean for us now that it has happened? What happened? God gave his only begotten Son. That's what happened in the birth of Jesus Christ. The Virgin Mary had been told about this when the angel Gabriel had appeared to her as she was in the city of Nazareth. After being told that she would have the great Son Jesus, who would sit upon David's throne, she asked the question, "How could that be? For I know not a man." She was not married. She was a virgin. The angel Gabriel had answered her in Luke 1, verse 35, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee," or envelop thee. "Therefore that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." What happened? God conceived human life in Mary's womb. He overshadowed her. He enveloped her by his hand, and by the power of his will he impregnated her, so that the child, the embryo, within her womb was sinless. It was real human flesh. It was flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone, but he was sinless. In the words of 2 Corinthians 5:21, he knew no sin. He was completely, really, truly, fully human, bearing the traits and the heredity of his mother. Yet, in the words of Hebrews 7:26, he was holy and undefiled. But there was more. He was not only a real human being, but he was the eternal and the natural Son of God. He was the only begotten of the Father. He was the second person of the eternal Trinity, God the Son, who had now united himself to this human nature. We think hard. We ponder. A mystery, a great mystery, not a myth, but something real, something true. So that in the Virgin Mary, in her womb, as she is now with child, is the child called Emmanuel, God with us. Truly a babe, sinless, and truly God of God. 9 months had quickly sped by. Now Mary and Joseph, being great, Mary being great with child, are brought down to Bethlehem. For God had said that out of Bethlehem shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. He said that in Micah 5:2. Bethlehem was the city of David, which is the house of bread, or the house of bread. Out of the house of bread, the city called house of bread, was to come the bread of life. And so Caesar Augustus, we read in Luke 2, that great Roman leader, that originator of Pax Romana, that great leader of men, is used as a pawn in God's hand. He decrees a taxing, which is the occasion for Joseph and Mary to leave Nazareth and to come to their hometown in Bethlehem. And since there was no room for them within the inn, they must lodge in a stable, a grotto, a cave, a smelly place with manure and spiders, and a terrible place. And in the darkness of the night, in that place where cows and camels bedded down, Mary went into labor. Did the birth pains begin earlier that day as they approached Bethlehem? Probably. She was great with child, we were told. Was hers a quick delivery? Probably. It might have happened so quickly that Joseph was not there, for we read in Luke 2:7, she brought forth her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. No mention is made of Joseph. Perhaps he was not there at that moment. Perhaps the birth came very suddenly indeed. But this we know, that the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, the days that God had determined, the moment that he had determined for this miracle, for this wonder. Each day, each hour, each minute had counted down when this wonder of wonders was to be performed. God's only begotten Son, God of God, second person, the one before whom angels tremble with joy. He now is clothed in human flesh, and he's held in the arms of a virgin. Stop and think. Ever since Adam had sided with the devil and corrupted himself, every child born, and every child born since the birth of Jesus Christ, was born and is born as an enemy of God by nature, but not this child. In a world of men in whom there is absolutely no good thing of themselves, this child is now, Hebrews 7:26, holy and undefiled and separate from sinners, but he is so much more. He is God, Hebrews 1, who had created all things, and who by his own hand upholds all things. He is himself as God uncreated. He is God everlasting. He is God infinite. He is God almighty. Is he cradled In the arms of his mother Mary, yes, but at the same time he holds her and all creatures in his hands. John chapter 1, the Word, the eternal Word, who was with God and was God, is now made flesh. God gave his only begotten Son. That's what happened. Never was there a giving like this giving. And that world gave is poured all the wonders of grace. We should read it this way: God so loved the world that he gave over his only begotten Son. He did not loan his Son. He did not dismiss his Son for a little while with no definite purpose, but he gave him over. He gave him up. He consigned him to a specific place. He sent him for a clearly chosen purpose. He gave him over for us. He sent him into our place to assume the place of judgment for our sins. Let the Bible tell you. In Isaiah chapter 53, we read, God laid on him the iniquity of us all. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. God gave his Son as the substitute for the sins of his people. God gave his Son over to the place which was ours, the place of judgment. You see the sentence of God hanging over you? You are a guilty sinner. You deserve eternal execution. God gave his Son over to that place. That's what happened. That night in the stable in Bethlehem, God gave his Son over to the place, as we would stand before his justice, so that now this baby must answer to God for my sins. You say to me, Pastor, it's Christmas. Must we burden this Christmas joy with this story, with the baggage of theology, sin and guilt and punishment and God's holiness and God's justice? I'm not burdening the story. I'm explaining to you the wonder of it. And if you want to know what happened in Bethlehem, yes, you need to know these things. If you are to truly be a happy person and to know the wonder of grace, you need to know these things personally. It's there. I'm not bringing it in. God writes all over the birth of Jesus Christ, what he's doing. He wrote it all over the walls of the stable. He wrote it all over the manger, those wooden slats where hay was placed and licked smooth by camel's tongues. He wrote it all over. He wrote the gospel of sin, my sin, and grace, his grace. What was the message that the angels felt a burden to give to the shepherds? It was this: And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. This shall be a sign. This shall show you that a Savior has been born. It will be a sign that God had given his Son over to be wrapped with all of our sins. Did Mary take the only things that she had, torn strips of cloth, and wrap them snugly around her new baby to comfort him and ward off the chill of the night air? Yes, she did. But that was a sign. Was a sign that God, who loved his Son with a perfect love, in a moment in time, wrapped around his Son now in the flesh, bundled him tight with all our sins, every last one. The sins of the world, the cosmos, world is literally cosmos, the unity of the elect of God, all those whom the Father graciously had chosen to give to Jesus Christ out of a fallen humanity, the elect. A vast multitude spanning now some 6,000 years and plus, all of their sins and all the punishment that those sins would deserve. How can we fathom it? How can we fathom it when you begin to know a little bit about the magnitude of your own sins? You see Jesus in the manger by faith. Do you know what happened? The only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, the delight of the Father, was given over to bear our condemnation, so that we would not bear it. And angels bowed in silent praise. Why? Why did God do that? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Christmas Day is the celebration of the love of God. Christmas is the great and everlasting celebration of the unconditional love of God. That's what we must make this day. God found it in his heart to love us, to draw us to himself, that we might be with him. God longed for us with a longing that could not rest until we were brought unto the highest good. God, in love, sought us, and he found us under dirt, and under the manure, and under the filth of sin. And he loved us, and gave his Son for us. John 3, verse 16 emphasizes that the love of God is always expressed. God so loved the world. That word so does not mean so much as to the measure or to the depth of God's love, but it means like this, in this way. Just like you children use that word so. When you're teaching your friend how to ride a bike or a skateboard, you say, do it like so, like so. God showed his love. How? Like so. In this way, God manifested his love in that he gave his only begotten Son. God's love did not remain a feeling locked away in his heart, but it showed itself. We need to remember that. A husband says, my wife knows I love her. She ought to know I love her. A father says, my kids, I think my kids know I love them. They ought to know. God doesn't love that way, husband and father. God doesn't behave that way. In every action he takes, he is earnest to show his love. And oh, how he demonstrated his love toward us when he gave his only begotten Son to be born in a stable, to be rejected, to be forsaken. Anyone who knows the agony of loneliness, of going down the dark valley of the shadow of death, when even the closest wife and children must leave you, know what it is to be forsaken. God loved us this way. He gave his dear Son to be forsaken of himself for us. Let me put it as simply as I can. God gave his Son to our everlasting hell. Have you sat down and reckoned with the reality of hell? Those sins deserve something. Those sins that now are wrapped around God's Son in the flesh, they are our sins. They deserve something. They deserve in themselves the unchangeable, pure justice of God in the everlasting flames of hell. But God gave his Son because he loved us, that he might bear the punishment away. This is the way God expressed his love. Why? Why did he have to do this? Why did God's love act this way? Because only his only begotten Son could bear away our sins. Only God of God can bear the punishment of God against sin. No other creature can do this. He had to love us this way. He had to give his own Son. There was no other way. It was the only way. Only God the Son in flesh can be Savior. We say there's a lots of ways to show love. FTD says, show it, say it with flowers. Nordstrom will say, nothing says it like a diamond. God says, there's only one way for me to show my love. It is either that the church, my elect, perish, or I give my eternal Son, the only one who can bear away their sins. This is how God loved us. Do you bow and wonder today before the love of God before you? The Christmas spirit, you know, is not the giving of material things, not that there's necessarily anything wrong with gifts. But don't mix up your kids. Don't say, God gave Jesus, and we give gifts. Don't mess them up. Christmas is God gave himself. Christmas is the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He gave them for the world of his good pleasure, for the entire host of his elect. In his love for us, he gave his Son. Now, what does that mean? That's the third question we need to answer if we're to have a full explanation. What happened? God gave his only begotten Son. Why? God so loved us. What does it mean? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All who believe in him will not perish. Faith, that gift of God whereby personally we are united to Jesus and embrace him with our hearts. Faith, that wonderful gift of God. It's the way whereby we receive this very gospel that is being expounded to you at this moment, whereby, though we are worthless sinners and have nothing of ourselves, through faith we become rich. It was expressed so tenderly by Mary. We must never sell the Virgin Mary short. We read that Mary kept all these things, all these words, literally, and pondered them in her heart, all the words, and she had a lot to ponder. But it was the words that she thought about. Unto you is born this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. She had heard that. She pondered that in her heart. Shall we? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Those who do not believe in this Christ child will perish. To perish is not just to die. All will die, of course. But perish means to fall into everlasting ruin. It means never to die. It means always dying. But those who believe in Jesus shall never die. They have everlasting life, and that is not simply life going on forever and ever, but it is to know the love of God and to be with God in glory and in joy. It's right now. It's today. I will not perish. I have everlasting life through the Christ child because God so loved me and gave over his Son to my condemnation, so that now, believing in him, I will not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you say that? Is that your confession? Oh, praise God. And then you know what Christmas is all about. You know the only explanation. And then there's just one thing left for us to do. Bow and worship. Today and every day. Every day over and over again. And live. Because God has so loved us. Let us pray. Father, praise be to thee for the wonder of thy love and grace. How good and how glorious thou art. O Lord, what thou hast given for us, thou hast given him. Now, Lord, may this word enter into our hearts, and may all our joy center in thee and end in thee, world without end. Amen.